You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
We have a great opportunity today. It's a great day. Glad you're here. Glad you've joined us online if you're watching. And the reason it's a great day, first of all, you're here. You're here. You make this a great day. But also, we have the privilege today of our speaker who's going to be filling in for Pastor Tim, because Pastor Tim and Tina and Pastor Zach and Taylor are in Rockford, California at High Ridge Church Rockland. I said Rockford. That was like the old Rockford Files or something. I don't know what. I'm old. You have to just look by. They're out in California ministering, giving their volunteers and teams some rest, and it's because of your generosity that we're able to do that. We're so grateful for you. But we have a real treat. Some of you know that I pastored for many, many years, and I pastored in East Texas some 30-something years ago, and what we get to experience today is not something that would have been normal. It would not have been something that would have occurred with any kind of frequency. But we have the great privilege today. I'd like, and it's my privilege to introduce our speaker today. He's a lead pastor at New Covenant Church here in Longview and Kilgore. He's a founding pastor, one of the founding pastors of Unite, which is how we are involved in our city and Transformation Longview. And he is a good friend to our pastor. He's a blessing to our city. And it is my great honor today to introduce to you Pastor Stephen Warnock. Can you welcome him? Let's give him a great High Ridge Church welcome.
Hey, thank you guys. Thank you very much. Man, what an honor, first of all, just to be here, and what an honor to worship with you. My wife is a worship leader, or she would be here with me today, but she's at our other location today worshiping. But I'm just telling you, man, the presence of God is here, and I just began to think today just how great it is to be with family. And when you're in the body of Christ, you're a part of a family that's much bigger than what you'll ever know or imagine. We're just a part of a small part of it. But what I love about what is happening, not only in this church, but in our city, is that we are really working together on the same team to advance the kingdom of God. And that is the mission. The mission is not to have our own little huddles. The mission is to grow the kingdom of God together. And so I'm so grateful for your church. And I just want to take a minute and honor your pastors, not just Pastor Tim and Tina, but the whole team. I love your whole team. I've gotten to spend a lot of time with them over the last several years. You have an incredible team here of pastors and staff that just love you. But of course, I do want to honor Pastor Tim and Tina suffering out there in California for us. Can we just tell them how much we love them so much? We honor you guys. Honor the work that you guys are doing. I was thinking this week as I got ready to prepare, I said, let me go see what they talked about last week. So I tuned in a little bit, watched a little bit of Pastor Tim's message last week, and he talked about joy. If you missed it, it was a great message. But there was a subtitle to that message that was called Don't Mess This Up. And it had nothing to do with the message. So I couldn't help but feel that it was a low-key, like, subtle comment towards me this week, like, hey, don't mess this up. So look, if I do and you don't like this, the real pastor will be here next week. So just come back, okay? All right, if you have your Bibles, I want to look in Psalm 92 today. I know you guys have been in the summer at Psalms some, and so the peace silent. I don't know if you guys knew that, but anyway, we're going to jump into Psalm 92, verse 12. It says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord, and they flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. Someone said amen to that. Come on, yeah. That's what I hope for me. And they are ever full of sap and green. And here's the purpose, to declare that the Lord is upright, that he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And I just want you to know today that this is describing what God wants for your life. He wants your life to flourish. He wants you to be like a tree that's growing and full of fruit all the days of your life. This is his desire. And not just so that people would look at you and go, man, they have a great life. Look at how awesome they are. No, it's to declare that God is righteous, to declare that he is so good. And look at what he's done in my life. That is the whole purpose, to give God glory. And when you read this passage, and you can read several similar passages throughout the scripture, you'll see that the scripture often uses agricultural imagery to explain things about the kingdom of God, agricultural imagery to explain the way of the righteous, agricultural imagery to explain the way that God works. But there are things that God does that we can see in nature, like seeds and planting and harvest and seasons. Like, those are the laws that God has put into nature to teach us about himself. Even in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says that while the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. These shall not cease. In other words, there are a lot of things you can change in this life, but these things you can't change. As long as there's an earth, as long as we're alive on this earth, you cannot change these laws that God's put into the earth, and you can't speed them up. You can't speed up seed time and harvest. You can't speed up the seasons. You can't make the day go faster and the night go shorter. You can't do that. Only God can do that, because there are laws that he put into place to teach us about his character. And if we're gonna read these passages and see, okay, God's desire is for me to flourish and to bear fruit, then I have to understand that there is a process that I have to go through. And that process starts all the way as small as a seed. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you guys today, because we should be honest in church. But my wife and I, we don't have green thumbs, okay? So when we try to grow plants, we kill plants. Like, if you give us a plant, it's as good as dead. You just need to know that today. We've tried. Like, one time I grew some herbs in my backyard, and I was reminded of where Pastor Tim was today and what church this is. He's in California, so just for Tim's sake, I'm not talking about those herbs, Pastor Tim. It wasn't a personal shot. I'm just saying, I know Tim will make some jokes. Anyway, again, he'll be back next week. The real guy's coming back. But I grew like oregano and basil and stuff, and it didn't work. I'm not good at it, okay? So my wife and I decided, since we're not good at it, but we like greenery, we bought these big planters and we put them in front of our door, and I filled them with real dirt, but I put fake plants in them. So we have fake plants on our front porch in real dirt. I'm not, you know, proud of it. I'm kind of embarrassed about it, but it is the reality of where we are. And so I actually brought to you a fake plant today, and I didn't bring a real one because it would be dead. Anybody know what kind of plant this is? Thank you, a bonsai tree, right? In my childhood, who made the bonsai tree famous? Come on, the Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi, thank you. Very good, yes. And Mr. Miyagi was always what? Trimming this, keeping it small, keeping it shaped. It was like his place of peace. But did you know that there's no such thing as a bonsai seed? There's a bonsai tree, but not a bonsai seed. A bonsai tree is actually a Chinese elm that has simply been put in a pot and has simply been manicured to stay small and to look good. And unfortunately, I think that's what we have a lot in Christianity today. We have a lot of people who are manicured to look good from the outside, but they're potted little plants and they don't have any roots, so there's no depth to them. They care more about whether they look good, whether than there's gonna be fruit in their life one day. And unfortunately, because of that, people are just manicuring their life, tricking you into thinking that they're better than they actually are. And I'm not trying to be rude or mean to anybody today, but here is the reality today, is that if we only manicure ourselves on the outside, we're only fooling ourselves. And we'll never flourish and bear the fruit. I don't know if you have heard this phrase. It's a popular phrase, not in my generation, I don't think, but in the generation below us. Have you ever heard this phrase, glow up? Someone's gonna have a glow up. Anybody know what that means? Okay, no? Okay, I'll help you out, because I had to learn too. But people are so worried about how they look on the outside. What a glow up is when somebody is younger and they kind of looked nerdy or they were ugly, and then they went through a transition and all of a sudden they're attractive and everybody likes them. They call that their glow up. So a lot of people are like, I'm just waiting for my glow up. And they're working on the outside so much that they never take the actual time to grow up on the inside. And God's design for your life is not that you'd have a glow up so everyone thinks you look good, but that you'd put down some roots and you'd really grow up on the inside. And because we live in this type of culture where people don't really have roots, they're just potted plants. Did you know potted plants can be easily moved? They can be easily transplanted. And people don't have roots today, so they do this. this friendship got hard. I'll try it over here. This marriage got difficult. The real pastor will be back next week. This church, it got difficult. And we never really put down the roots that God designed us to because we're constantly transplanting, looking for a perfect person, looking for a perfect church, looking for the next thing we think will help us. And we never grow. Did you know, though, that this same seed, if it weren't put in a pot and perfectly manicured, if you were to just plant it in the soil, out in the open, in the right environment, it has the potential to be 30 to 50 feet tall. In fact, I brought a picture here to show you. This is actually a Chinese elm. It's the same plant, but that's a little house. But it's much bigger, it's much stronger. It's providing shade that this little thing could never do, right? Which tells us that in the right environment, you could be much bigger and much stronger than God, than you are currently. You were never meant to be a 6-inch plant. You were meant to be a tree that is flourishing and growing for generations to come with people eating off the fruit of your life. That is what God designed for you. But if you want to flourish, you have to be planted. And how many of you know trees are not what's originally planted? Seeds are. Trees are transplanted, but seeds are planted. And a seed doesn't grow until it's planted in the dirt. So I have some dirt and some seeds for you today. There's all kinds of different seeds in here, but I want to give you this imagery and maybe it will help. But what happens when this seed goes into the dirt? You can talk back to me. It's okay. This is not an invisible wall. What? Don't get ahead of me, sir. Just kidding. We'll get there. Some of you are planted. It disappears. Like, I can't see this anymore. The seed now has effectively been buried in the dirt, and you can no longer see what's happening. Why? Because the process a seed has to go through happens deep beneath the soil. It happens in a place where no one can see it, which flies in the face of everything of our culture today, but it happens beneath the surface. Even Jesus talked about this in Mark chapter 4. He was illustrating the kingdom of God, but I think our lives are very similar. Mark chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter his seed on the ground and he sleeps and rises night and day and the seed sprouts and grows, but he doesn't know how. The earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle and the harvest has come. There is a harvest, but it starts with the seed going into the ground that the farmer doesn't know what's happening. I can't see what's actually happening. I just know that it's happening. And there's a lot of things in our life like this right now. Like even in this room right now, this microphone that I'm wearing, right? We don't see how the waves are being transmitted wirelessly to the board that's running to some speakers that you can hear from, but we know it's working. We just trust it's working, right? Like Wi-Fi in the room. No idea how it's working. There's invisible ways, but it's working. It's like women's brains, right? We don't know how they're working. I'm sorry. Listen, first of all, let me explain myself. I checked with my wife before I said that, which by the way, men, it's great advice. Before you say something stupid, ask your wife, even if she, you know, if she okays it, just know how it's gonna come out. I just saw you guys getting tense, so I just felt like I needed to, let's loosen this up a little bit. Ladies, by the way, there's nothing going on up here, in case you're wondering. Like, you don't have to know how our brains are working. They're just not. Anyway, the farmer can't see it. It's the process is happening. There's a clear process. The scripture said happens, right? First the ear, then the blade. Then there's always a process, but it happens beneath the surface. And the reason many people don't plant in the house of the Lord is because they cannot see what's happening. They don't see in the natural the process that it's going through. So they get impatient and they're like, I guess this isn't working. But the process of a seed becoming a plant has to happen in a place where people cannot see it. And we don't like that, right? But if you look into the scriptures, what you see over and over again is that the people who we think are the heroes of the faith, they all went through a season of being hidden. They all went through a season where it looked like they were in obscurity. David is one of those great men who spent years before he became the king, years just in a pasture watching his father's sheep, tending the sheep, just being faithful where no one could see what was happening. But we know that that season prepared him later. He could have felt forgotten for sure. In fact, Samuel came to his house, the prophet Samuel came to his dad's house and is like, I'm here to anoint a king. Bring out your sons. And Jesse's like, got it. Brings all the sons out. Samuel's like, wait a minute, it's none of these. Do you have any more? Can you imagine if your dad was like, yes, actually we do. I forgot about him. He's out in the field. Right? What was he doing? He was just being faithful to what he was supposed to do. He was being hidden, and God was preparing things in him in that season that would prepare him. We know this because when he got to Goliath, what'd he say? I've already fought the bear. I've already fought the lion when no one saw. In you, you uncircumcised Philistine, will be no different. Right? Uncircumcised Philistine's Christian cussing, by the way. It's what you can call people and be safe biblically. But the point is, it happened in the dark. John the Baptist, 30 years of obscurity for 4 months of an incredible work that Jesus said, no one's greater than John the Baptist. Jesus himself, 30 years of nothing almost, and then 3 years of ministry. What was happening in those 30 years? You don't hear about Jesus after his birth, except for 2 times, at 8 days when he was dedicated at the temple, and then at 12 years old when his parents forgot him at the church. Which should give you some great hope if you've done that, that you're on par with Jesus's parents. But what did the Bible say happened between that time? It says that Jesus continued to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He just was growing in the dark. And this tells us the principle that God put into nature is true in our lives as well, is that development happens in the dark. Development happens in the places where nobody can see. The seed goes beneath the soil. I don't know if you guys remember film pictures, because today everything's digital. You can take a picture and it's right there. But in my day, kids, we had to take pictures on film. And then you had to get it developed. And so when that happened, you'd have to take a negative into a dark room. I had to do this in college. And by the way, digital pictures were doing real well at this time. They just wanted us to learn how to do film. So they take us in a dark room. There's only one little red light. And there, you have to take this negative and you print it on a photo paper, and then it has to go through a process. It has to go through a chemical wash. Then it has to go through a water wash. Then it has to be hung up to dry. And if the light enters too quickly before that picture is developed, it stops the development and it ruins the picture. So they had to keep the door closed and you had to have a little red light on. And this is the problem with the culture we face today, though, is because everybody wants to get to the light. Everybody wants the spotlight. They wanna be a YouTuber. They wanna be, you know, a TikTok famous person. They wanna be an Instagram theologist. And so they're rushing to get to the light. But what's happened is when the light hits them, it stops the development that was supposed to happen in the dark. And as a result, we have a whole culture today that is overexposed but underdeveloped, because they weren't in the process long enough for God to do something in their life. You see, that picture is only realized when it's fully developed. If it stops early, you don't get to see what the Creator wanted it to be. You've got to let it go through the process. And you cannot skip the planting, because the Bible says it's the soil that develops it, right? What's developed in the soil? Character is developed in the soil. Integrity is developed in the soil. The right heart for God and his people is developed in the soil. You know what else? Perseverance is developed in the soil. Perseverance means to remain under. It doesn't mean to get out from this. You know, it's remain under the dirt. It's remain in the dark and allow the process to happen. See, there's potential of the picture, and there's potential in the seed, but it's only realized when it goes through a process. And for a seed, it's planting. See, the reality is a seed is only potential until it gets planted. It's a ball of potential. And you and I as seeds are full of potential. But it will not get realized if we're afraid to go through the planting process. And we all like the idea of potential, right? You like it when someone says, man, I just see the potential in you. That feels good. You don't like it when someone says, I think you've reached your cap. Like, that doesn't feel good. We like it when I see more in you. We like to believe that. I like to believe that God's not done with me yet, that there's more in me that I haven't even seen yet. We like that idea of potential, but the problem with potential is it takes time and it takes patience and it takes persistence. And you really never know what you're fully gonna get because you cannot determine the potential of a seed by simply looking at it on the outside. I don't know what's in this, to be honest with you. And I can look at you and your pastors look at you and I know they say, man, there's a lot of potential in them. But only God knows the full potential of what he's packed inside of you. They don't even know the full potential. But you cannot skip that process. Let me tell you what the word potential means. It means the latent abilities or qualities that may be developed and lead to future success and usefulness. So while we're all full of potential, there's no guarantee. It may be developed. It's there. It's already on the inside. It's latent until something awakens it. And there are a lot of people that are packed full of potential today, but they're afraid to get planted because someone said it here, that it requires you die. You see, a seed has to die before it bears fruit. And people don't want to die, but they want the fruit. But for a seed to bear fruit, there has to be a death before there is life. Even Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, he said that unless a seed or a grain of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it cannot bear much fruit. He's illustrating actually the gospel. He's illustrating his life. Jesus was the seed that went into the ground and died and bore much fruit. And you and I, if you're a follower of Jesus, are the fruit of the seed of Jesus that went into the ground. But that principle is true in every area of your life. That's the gospel message. If you want to flourish and bear fruit that God designed for you to bear, you have to die. You have to die to yourself. You have to die to your flesh. You have to die to your pride. If you want your marriage to succeed, you have to die to yourself. If you want to be a great parent, you got to die to your flesh. It's the reality of the gospel. Death comes before the life. And I just believe that God is looking for a people, even in this day today, who are willing to say, God, plant me, God, bury me, God, crush me, whatever it takes, so that what you want to produce in me and through me can happen. I'm willing to die. That is what God is looking for. And when that seed goes into the ground where it's dark, it breaks open and something new comes out of it. A seed doesn't come up out of it. It's not the same anymore. It's a transformed thing. It's now a plant that's much different than when it went into the ground. See, a seed is just a ball of potential until it's willing to die. And I want to encourage you because I know that it feels a little bit heavy. You're like, I came to be encouraged today and you're telling me I got to die. Let me encourage you though, that if you are willing to go through that process, you can never underestimate what God can do with your life and your family and your purpose when you make a decision to get planted. Never underestimate it because there's more in you than you even know right now. And you may not see it happening, but it's happening if you'll just stay in the process. In fact, that's what Jesus was describing in Mark 4. He doesn't see it. He doesn't know. He just trusts it's happening. But we get impatient. Have you ever had one of those bean plants you did as a kid? Like, you know, I was homeschooled, so we had like paper cups and stuff, and you put a little bean plant in and water it. Not a bean plant. That's what I was hoping for. It was a bean, just a bean. Everybody ever done this? Am I the only one? Couple others. You water it, and then what happens? Nothing. Like, you sit around, and you're like, I put it in the sun. I watered it again. And you look at it more than it's doing anything. You're just like, I can't tell. And then right when you're about ready to give up, tiny little root pops out. You start to see something. And then you stay faithful with it a little longer. And then all of a sudden a plant comes up out of it. And I just wanted to give you that illustration today to encourage you that even though you don't see it happen, and trust that God is doing something beneath the surface in your life if you'll just stay planted. So let me give you quickly, with the time I have left, three soils to get planted in because your environment matters. The soil you're planted in is going to produce something. Let me give you three that we see in the scripture. Here's the first one, and it was mentioned in the Bible that we read, or the verse we read. Get planted in the house of God. Yeah. Just make a decision. I'm gonna get planted in the house of God. Why? Because the nutrients, the spiritual nutrients and the spiritual food that are designed to help you grow are in the house of God. This is where you're gonna get everything that you need to continue to flourish. Now, I think it's fascinating that this verse could have said, those who are planted in the community will flourish. Those who are planted in their job will flourish. Those who are planted in the government will flourish. It could have even said those who are planted in their family will flourish, but that's not what it said. And those are all great things to be a part of. But what it said is those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Why? Because this is where the presence of God is made available to you on a regular basis. This is where spiritual food is available to you. This is where opportunities for you to discover your gifts and how God wired you and begin to become a part of the body and serve other people. It's where you get a connection to the head, actually. Jesus is the head of his body. So if you're disconnected from the body, you're disconnected from the head. That is the powerful principles of being connected in the house of God. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4. He's talking about what the church is here for. Verse 11, he says, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers, those are all available in this house, by the way. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up his church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we all come to such unity of our faith and the knowledge of God's Son that what? That we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. What is this saying? If you wanna be mature, if you wanna grow in the Lord, you've gotta be in the house of God getting fed. That is this picture. It's where your faith is watered. It's where you come in going, is there something bigger than what I'm facing today? And you're reminded, like we were in this morning in worship, that we serve a God who reigns above it all. That happens in the house of God. But sadly, too many people miss out on the nutrients of the house of God because they're just drifting and they're just potted plants. They're afraid to put down roots. Because when things get difficult, it's much easier to go than to stick through it. But I don't know if you know this. I mean, you do because you're a human being, but there are no such thing as perfect people. People leave marriages because they're not a perfect people. They leave friendships because they're not a perfect friend. They leave churches because there's not a perfect church. And I just want you to know, as great as High Ridge is, it's a great church. It's not perfect. As great as New Covenant is, it's not a perfect church. There's no such thing as a perfect situation. And if you can get that out of your mind of like, I gotta find the perfect one, then you'll stay planted. And the reason that we leave is because we get hurt. And it stinks, and I get it. There are situations when you deal with people, it just stinks. I don't know if you've ever walked up to a flower bed when it's been freshly mulched and stuff. Oftentimes, does it smell good? No, it stinks. Why does it stink? It's okay. What? Fertilizer, but what is that? It's manure. It stinks. I brought a bag of manure. Doug, could you grab it? No, I'm just playing. There's no manure here. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But the reality is, when we run into something that stinks, we're like, this means I'm not supposed to be here anymore. And so we're like, that's nasty. But what if the thing that you thought stinks, that was meant to push you out, was the thing that God put in place there to help you grow, like a fertilizer that exponentially helps the seed grow, that exponentially helps the plant grow? It makes you grow a lot more when you stay in there and you stay planted, because it's hard and it's difficult, but that's where character is produced. That's where perseverance is produced. Is you say, I'm not running, I'm putting down roots, and God is gonna grow this thing further than I could do it on my own. That is what happens. You start overlooking offense. You start forgiving quickly. You start living for something far greater than your own self, and you begin to live for other people. It's all intended to help you grow. Just let the dirt do the work. Just stay in the soil of the house of God. If God brought you here, man, put down some roots here. Don't go anywhere else. It's not better somewhere else. It's better where you plant. Okay, I got to move on. Here's the next one. Get planted in the Word of God. Get planted in the house of God. Say, I want everything this house has. I'm gonna join the dream team. I'm gonna go through the growth track, but then I'm also gonna get planted in the Word of God, because the Word of God is like water to your soul. It is not only the food that we eat spiritually, it's also water to our soul. I know you guys read this earlier this year in Psalm chapter 1, but it says this in verse 2, talking about the way of the righteous, that they delight in the law of the Lord. and they meditate on the word or the law of the Lord day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank. They bear fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. Doesn't that sound like what we read in Psalm 92? Again, the agricultural imagery that if you're planted in the house of the Lord, you're gonna flourish and bear fruit. If you're planted in the word of God, you're gonna flourish and bear fruit. Because the word of God, when you put it into practice in your life, it is like water that hits the seed beneath the soil. It activates everything inside of you and begins to draw it out of you. And if you will plant in the word of God will plant into you, and out of it will come exactly what God designed to come out of your life because you're putting it into practice in your life. It's like David said, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, God." What he's saying is I'm constantly planting the word in me when I don't think that I need it so that I'm ready when I do need it. See, he's ready to face temptation because he's been planting the word inside. I'm ready to face offense because I've been planting the word inside. If you will plant in the word of God will plant in you. And it brings to life the things that are laying dormant. And the other benefit is, because you're planted in the house and you're planted in the word of God, when there's a dry season, when there's a drought, guess what? You have a source of life deeper than the surface. Those trees that go down deep planted by the riverbank, they always have water they can draw from. It doesn't matter the environment around them because they have a deep well beneath them that they're drawing from. That's the picture that we see here in the scripture. I can't tell you the importance of getting planted in the word of God. Get planted in the house of God, get planted in the word of God, and here's the third one. Get planted with the people of God. And this is where it gets difficult sometimes. Get planted with the people of God. God designed people to help you grow. A little further down in Ephesians chapter 4, just a couple verses later, he says that we will speak the truth in love. And that's hopefully what I'm doing to you today. I want you to feel the love of the Father for you today. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, look, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. In other words, the people that you're sitting around today, God put in this room with you to help you grow. There's a part of growth that you can only experience through other people. You cannot reach full maturity in Christ without other people in your world helping you grow. And I love this picture because we want to keep people out. I can't let them know what's really going on inside of us. But that's when you really start to grow. Again, it's a lot like fertilizer. It might stink at times, but it's going to exponentially grow things in your life. We believe that growth happens best in the context of relationships. I know you guys believe the same thing. That's why you have groups where you encourage each other and you challenge each other and you build each other up. And these groups, by the way, they're not just so you can have fun and have food. I hope you do, but they're so you'll grow. It's a soil. It's a soil that will draw out the best in you if you will let it. That's why your environment matters. You can't just be with anybody all the time and let them speak into your life. You got to be with the people of God because what you're putting in you will eventually come out of you. And that's the important thing here, is to understand all of these are producing something in you, even when you can't see it happening. And the reason that I'm so passionate about this message and about this topic is because this is my story. I grew up in the house of God. My dad was a pastor. I grew up in the house of God, but I never wanted to be a pastor. I never wanted to be in ministry. I never wanted to be on the platform. I had my season of obscurity in the dark. I actually was the guy behind the camera. I was the guy running lights. So shout out to all the tech arts teams. You guys do an amazing job. I understand. I was where you were. I didn't want to be up here. And I had opportunities for offense. I had opportunities to get hurt. In fact, I can remember a season where my wife and I cried ourselves to sleep almost every night. We were ready to go. We were telling ourselves, this would be a lot easier somewhere else. And it was in that moment where I felt like the Lord said, no, I want you to stay and I want you to plant. I know you're hurting. But we made the decision, no, we're gonna plant. And I can honestly tell you with everything in me today that I would not be where I am today if I did not stay in the soil. I'm a product of the soil. I'm a product of the house of God. I'm a product of the word of God. I'm a product of people telling me that's not healthy for your life. You can't talk to your wife that way. This isn't how you ought to conduct your life. Yeah, it hurt, but it was growing me. And who knew that one day I'd stand in front of you preaching at High Ridge? Not me. Didn't want to do it. But only God knew the seed and the potential inside of the seed. And I'm here to tell you, there are people in this house, it's their story too. I can think of pillars in this house, the Lemasters, the Camacs, the Iwans, the Spragans. There are pillars in this house who've been planted for decades. And when you look at their life and you see their families and you go, God, how do I have that? Just get planted. Just say, I'm not going anywhere, God. Because it's important. If you want to flourish, you have to understand church attendance does not equal planted. You can come every week and walk out and not allow anything to happen in your life. Unless you say, God, I want everything this church has for me, I'm digging in. You're not gonna flourish. Posting a verse on Instagram every day. It's a manicured plant. I had my time with God with a coffee cup. But if you don't let that word actually get into your heart, you're just a manicured little plant. Going to a group doesn't guarantee growth. You gotta get open. You gotta let someone in. Let them speak into your life, even when it stinks. I know I'm hammering this home, but I know that your pastors want this for you too. I don't want you to be 6 inches tall. God designed you to be 50 feet tall. God wants you to have generational legacy that you can pass down for generations to say, we were planted in the house of God. We're flourishing in the court of God one day. But it all comes when you choose to stay planted. Because on the surface, a seed does nothing. If I just put this seed on the surface, it's just a ball of potential sitting on top of some dirt. Let it go deep, guys. Say, I'm going in. I'm digging in today. And one day you'll look up and you'll go, man, how did I get here? How did we get this? How do I have people eating off the tree of my life? How do I have generational influence in my family? How? Because I chose to stay planted. What could happen in 1 year, in 3 years or 5 years or 20 years if you made a decision? I'm not afraid to die. I'll go through the process. I'm planted, God. I promise you, if you trust the process and trust that God is doing what you cannot see, that he that began a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion, you will see the fruit one day that you want to see in your life. Just let the dirt do the work, amen? How many of you would say, I want to let the dirt do the work in my life? I want to stay planted. Would you just bow your heads with me? And I just want to go to the Lord in prayer and just say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to me? Because all of us are in different places and we're all facing different things, but the Holy Spirit knows exactly where we are. And he has this beautiful ability to bring things to light, to convict us lovingly on what we need to do next. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to us, God. If there's an area we've been afraid to get planted, Lord, if we've just kept things on the surface, God, I just pray that you would give us the courage, Lord, as you're revealing the areas, to dig deep, God. Give us the courage to be planted, God, no matter how difficult things may get. And as I was praying for you today, High Ridge, I really felt like the Lord was telling me that there are gonna be people here today who you're right on the verge. Like you actually have been thinking about transplanting a marriage. You've thought about leaving a friendship because it's difficult, and you're here today and you've already made your mind up, but God is saying, no, I don't want you to leave. I'm not calling you to get out of that. Maybe you've been thinking about leaving this church and God is saying, plant here. Don't go anywhere. Let the dirt do the work in your life. And God, I pray that one day, God, the people who hear this word, let it be like a seed, like the word is a seed that goes into our heart. Let it take deep root, God. And I pray you would grow something only you can grow, God. And let High Ridge continue to be a church that's having influence, God, not because of the pastors, but because of the people that are planted in this house, God. And we want to give you all the glory and praise for what you're doing in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Stephen. Can we give up a thanks for what a great message, timely word, such a good word, such a good word. We're so grateful. I hope it I hope you recognize what a wonderful thing is occurring today. As I mentioned before, 30 years ago, this wouldn't be happening. Having a pastor of another church come in and saying, stay here, that wouldn't happen. It's part of our involvement in the city. So grateful. But you know, he mentioned something about Jesus, his death, his willingness to die. It's what has given us the hope for life. So we never like to close a service without giving someone an opportunity to make that decision to invite Christ into their lives and find out the life that is capable of we're capable of having when we walk into a relationship with him. So I'm just going to ask, if you don't mind, if you just bow your heads one more time, close your eyes, no one looking around. If you're here today and you say, well, I know church, but I don't know that I know God. I don't know that I have a relationship, but I want one. I want those things that Pastor Stephen was talking about today. I want that to be a reality in my life, but I've never really given my life to Jesus in that way. Well, today we want to give you that opportunity. So if that's you today, just pray this simple prayer with me. It's not a formula. It's not magical words. It's just a template of sorts for you to follow, to ask Christ to come into your life. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong. I've lived my own way. But I ask you today, forgive me. Come into my life right now. I invite you in to change me from the inside out. I surrender to you and give you my life. And I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior. Thank you for hearing my prayer and saving me today. In Jesus' name. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, if that was you today, friend, if perhaps even watching online, we'd like to know that you prayed that prayer with me. If you're here in this room and you say, Bill, I prayed that prayer with you, then I just ask you, if you wouldn't mind, could you just lift your hand wherever you might be and just let me know, I prayed that prayer. I did that, Bill. I did. Thank you. For those of you watching online who may have prayed that prayer with me and any in the room, appearing behind me on the screen is a number. We have some resources that will help you know your next steps. This is the beginning of a walk with God, and we want to help you with some resources that we prepared for you. All you have to do is text us, 844-HRC-TEXT, and you'll get some links sent to you with some resources that will help you know your next steps. How awesome is that? Can we give the Lord thanks for our opportunity today to be here in his house? And want to remind you, as you go ahead and stand, I'm going to ask our elders and wives to come forward. We always want to make prayer available to you, whatever you may be facing. It may be related to today's message. It may be completely unrelated, but we always want to make it available to you. And as they're making their way here, I want to remind you of what's coming up September 12th. We have Unite, the Unite Leadership Conference. It's always a great time. You are all invited. We have the privilege of having John Maxwell back. He was with us in our initial one, the very first one we ever had, that Pastor Stephen and other pastors joined with Pastor Tim put together this Unite Leadership thing that's had a real impact on our city. And 5 years in, John Maxwell is back, and he gets to come and see all the things that God has done since that first gathering together. We'd love for you to be a part of that. So we'd like you to just go ahead and go out to, I think it's belchercenter.com. Is it up here? There we go. That's even easier. Look at that. Don't listen to me. Look at that. And you can get your tickets. We hope you'll take advantage of that. It's going to be a great and wonderful time. Well, let me pray for you. Bless you. If you need prayer, please come down. We'll be here at the front to pray with you. Thank you for joining us, those of you online. We're praying for you as well in this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for every household, every family represented here and those watching online. And Lord, we speak a blessing today. May the rest of this day be led by you. May they go out with joy and be led forth with peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Hope you have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.